With everyone fighting for attention, how can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy, with Constant Contact. Constant Contact's award-winning marketplace platform has helped millions of small businesses stand out, stay top of mind, and see big results fast. It's okay if you don't know much about marketing. Constant Contact's writing assistant tools and automation features help you craft messaging and say the right things at the right time. I use this to help write and send my email newsletters, and you should too. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
The College Football Experience Week 9 Season Preview Episode on Sports Gambling Podcast Networks, presented by WynnBET. Bet $50 at WynnBET and get $200 in free bets. Bet big, win bigger with WynnBET. Download the WynnBET app now or visit WynnBET.com. That's WynnBET.com and start winning today. We're also brought to you by Sleeper. You already play fantasy on Sleeper, but now you can win cold hard cash with their brand new over under game. Just head to sleeper.com/SGP on your phone to join the SGPN group, and Sleeper will automatically match your first deposit up to $100. That's sleeper.com/SGP. We're also brought to you by us. Yes, the SGPN app is live in the App Store and Google Play Store. It is free to download, and it is your home for all of our free picks and podcasts. So grab that thing today and let it ride.
This is Brian Bosworth, AKA The Boz, and you're listening to SGPN. Let it ride, brother. Peace out. Boz out.
The College Football Experience part two of the week 9 draft. You're rocking with
this is side B too. Side B, we can get loose.
Yeah. Side there B, we go. Can get loose. The drinks taste a little bit better. right. You know, it's just better. All right. So here it is. My pick after Kentucky, Tennessee was just played, and guys, I'm taking you to Fresno, California.
Already.
What do you mean already? You don't like this one?
I'm sorry to cut you off. Go ahead, man.
Dude, these are the top two teams in the Mountain West. West, actually, well, because they're not implementing the top two until next year, just like the ACC. But here we go. San Diego State at Fresno State. We just previewed Fresno State. Me and Patty C. Jeff Tedford is I think walking into a great situation. I want to say, if memory serves me correct, I think he said 17 starters return. And they were
Haner.
Yeah, including maybe a Heisman candidate with Jake Haner, and then went out and got the number one transfer portal ranking in the Mountain West, brought in some big time players. I think Fresno State's loaded. The question is, because San Diego State's loaded from a defensive standpoint, from a run standpoint. The question is Fresno State a bad matchup for them? Because San Diego State's the Wisconsin of the Mountain West, where Fresno State, they fire the laser all over the field. Sign me up for San Diego State at Fresno State. NC Nick's giving me shit, Patty. See, why should we listen to him right now?
Huh? Well, I don't know if I would call San Diego State the Wisconsin. I mean, yes, they run probably as frequently as Wisconsin, but the style isn't, you know, the jumbo package. They've had some speedster come out of San Diego
State.
But
they still throw for like 85 yards a game and win.
They're kind of fun. I love a speed oriented super run attack. San Diego State should be higher on my list of favorite teams. That said, the contrast of style is interesting. Obviously, Jeff Tedford, Jake Haner are going to throw the ball all over the field. You said the Mountain West, the last year of the divisions, the Western Division in the balance probably
this is
here.
This is the top two teams for sure.
I like that it's a California rivalry. Sign me up.
NC Nick, talk your shit about it.
No, I mean, I don't mean to come down on these two teams or this game because I do like the game. I like both teams. You know, I like some Mountain West football. I just thought you had it ranked up maybe like 5 games too high, which at this point, that's not the end of the world because we're definitely on probably a
third tier here.
But if we value TV here, you know, this is going to be the lone game. Like that you're going to have like this and like one other game, probably like Stanford UCLA going on. I'm sorry. I'm going to go with this one over Stanford UCLA, a Pac-12 after or West Coast football after dark. You know what I mean?
Six games of this series, 3-3.
That's what I'm talking about.
Well, I mean, you said it, Colby. It's on too late for me. We mention this every week, but I do knock down games a couple spots if they're going to be on, you know, past midnight Eastern time. Sorry. Well,
I'm putting it there because it's the best game at the time and I'll be watching it. I think it's probably going to be the best, the night spot. Yeah. So
good point.
To Nick's credit, he at least acknowledges his East Coast bias here,
which completely.
Something that if the pollsters and the Heisman voters would have done, then we might have a completely different situation.
It is unbelievable when you hear. I was listening to another podcast and it was saying, "Am I crazy? They think the ACC is better. Has been better than like hands down better than the Pac-12." I'm sorry.
Yep.
I'm sorry. I know it's ACC Nick there, but I think if they went first off. They have played, and the Pac-12 is like 27-3 or something. I don't even know. They've dominated even when they've had to come. When Cal goes to North Carolina, when USC played at FedEx against Virginia Tech, whatever it has been, they've whooped their ass. And I just don't get it. Okay, yes, they haven't had the Clemson, they haven't had the college football playoff wins, but
Florida State.
If you played. Well, Florida State lost to Oregon in the fucking in the playoffs in 2014.
Championship in the last decade.
But the point is,
look, there's your problem. The point is your problem is that you listen to other people's podcasts. Okay,
I mean, I love it.
I don't pollute my brain with that nonsense. I got pristine action going on right here. I don't bother with all the other shit.
A man trusts what he sees with his own eyes. I like it.
All right. Well, wait. So it's now on to NC Nick.
It's Patty C.
Oh, Patty C. I'm sorry, Patty C. You got to help remind me here.
Well, look, this
no
one,
CTE here.
Right? This one is not much of a surprise. You know, a little bit of a homer play, but I also think it's roughly the same as any other game on the board in terms of excitement. We got Miami traveling to Virginia. Brennan Armstrong, Nick's boy, Brennan Armstrong. Potentially a big game last year.
Van Dyke versus Armstrong.
There you go. A quarterback shootout. Maybe both first rounders. Maybe. And then last year, I think this game got Manny Diaz basically fired, right?
This game was wild last year because Armstrong threw a touchdown that hit off of like four guys. You remember that?
Yeah.
And Miami, like I thought Virginia should have won. Like Virginia seemed to be kind of in control in the second half, but Miami gets in a spot to win the game, and it's a chip shot.
Yeah, straight in front of the
field. With a good kicker.
Yes, in a stadium that's practically a dome. That's like 80% dome. It's completely terrible. And he hits the upright, and Virginia.
Oh, that was so great.
Yeah, Virginia wins. What a game. Miami, Virginia. Hey, I think I'm okay. I can't give it shit here.
Again, you know, because the Coastal, as usual, completely up for grabs, maybe this has implications for one or both teams in the division race.
I like it. Nick, Miami and Virginia.
I'm a big fan of this game. You know, I'm a Brennan Armstrong guy. And actually this game last year, it was the game where I became a big Tyler Van Dyke guy. It was only his second start ever. You know, his stats in this game weren't incredible or anything, but he made like big play after big play in the clutch. And I saw how distraught he was after they lost. And I was like, dude, this guy is going to be good. He's going to be a hell of a college football quarterback. He's going to, you know, be a very good leader. He's going to win a lot of games. So it's actually two of my favorite quarterbacks, not only in the ACC, but probably in the country. So I'm a big fan of this game.
Each of the last 4 years, this game's been decided by 8 points or less.
And by the way, the ACC against the Pac-12, I had to pull up this stat. Since the year 2000, the Pac-12 is 28-11 against the ACC. 28.
What does it have to do with this game?
All right.
Well, I got to bring that up.
I wanted that stat, including in the 2010s, they were 21-3 against the ACC. 21-3, the decade of the 2010s.
That's not very impressive for the ACC.
Anyway, no, it's a fun game.
That's the most relevant decade, obviously, the decade of the 2010s. That is a great question. Why do you think the ACC is better than the
Pac-12? I pull up the magazine and they're ranking the conferences, and they still have them. They have them ahead of it. And I'm like, are they fucking crazy? I mean, I like, we have proof. We have a sample size.
There are stats that back this up.
I don't get it. I don't get it. NC Nick, I'm sorry to come at you. I know you're quiet over there. Technical difficulty. Here we go.
I'm listening.
NC Nick's on the clock.
All right. Well, to prove my my non-East Coast bias, I'm going to take it to a Pac-12 game, and it's going to be Thursday night, very late. I might make it to halftime, but it's a great game. It's a fun game, and it's the game after Virginia Tech, NC State. So if you're on the West Coast, it's perfect, man. You got two great matchups on Thursday night. It is Utah at Washington State.
Dangerous, I mean, you know, dangerous
prime
game.
Prime at Wazoo. Utah has won three in a row in the series, but they've all been in Salt Lake City. They've lost the last two in Pullman.
And I believe the most recent one, Rolovich blew a huge lead. I think if memory serves me correct, in Salt Lake City, they were up like 21-3 and they end up losing that game. But this is a dangerous one because this is one of those sleepy spots. And a lot of, you know, a lot of people are projecting Utah to play for the Pac-12 championship against Oregon. But you know, it might not be against Oregon because of the new, you know, what's his name? Klavikov saying the top two teams. So this makes it huge.
That's in effect this year.
Yes. This year. He said, fuck all that. Hey, ACC, take some notes. All right.
Dude, so how about Thursday night, man? You got Virginia Tech, NC State, Utah, and Washington State, and you have a little Sunbelt matchup we'll probably touch on later, all mixed in there. Just Thursday night. That's beautiful.
And then you get ECU's upset in Provo on Friday.
Boom. And then apparently there's some other bullshit Florida International game on Friday too.
Hey,
so all right.
Hey, the airport is not serving bullshit, right? They got Mike McIntyre. That's my boy.
Wait. I'm looking at this. Five of the last six games in this series have been played in Utah, and those have all been.
I was wondering that. What the hell?
Exactly. Must have been COVID, like,
well,
in
the
2020.
COVID situation. Yeah, that game was added, I think, late. But still, even with that, it doesn't always just alter. I know it's weird because Colorado had to go to Oregon twice in a row.
Yeah,
so,
but five and out of six.
Yeah, that's pretty wild.
Come on.
Maybe that's why Mike Leach left for Hale State.
All right.
So now it goes back to me. NC Nick mentioned a good one. There's some barn burners out there. I'm going to take you to one that I look. Pac-12 Colby making his appearance this episode. Oregon travels to Berkeley. Justin Wilcox went to Oregon, played at Oregon. His defense or his offensive coordinator was a quarterback at Oregon, and he turned down the Oregon job to stay in Berkeley. Oh shit. And also, let's be honest, I feel like Cal always gives Oregon more than they bargain for.
Mama came calling and he said, screw you, mama. I'm staying in Berkeley.
I was shocked by that. Anyway, they go to Berkeley. Let's drop acid. Where's my sound drop again? Hang on. Let me find this sound drop again.
Hippie Olympics. Doesn't matter who wins because they're all losers.
All right. Look, the last time they played, Oregon won by 7. All right. But these games have been good. The 24-17, Oregon wins in Eugene last year. The year before, Cal won 21-17. The year before that, and this is the game Patty C remembers, Cal was out without their starting quarterback. They were up 7-0 at halftime. And I think going into the fourth, they were up 7-3. Oregon scored 10 in the fourth, got the win 17-7.
Yeah.
So this is some fun games. And in Berkeley, get this, they're, Cal is won two of the last three in Berkeley. Sign me up for this one. What do you make of the game, Nick?
That's the key in Berkeley, because Cal's only won at Oregon two times since 1987. You got to go back a ways.
They play
every year,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So they won in 1987 and they won in 2007. Maybe in 2027, they'll win again in Eugene. But no, yeah, at Berkeley, they've been good games. I like it. It should be a fun one.
Patty C, your thoughts? The Wilcox Bowl?
Well, you said two of the last three in Berkeley getting it done for Cal and the Bears. I don't know. Wilcox, do you think Oregon has a chip on their shoulder for him not taking the job and forcing them to get Lanning? And are we confident that Lanning's going to do the job there?
I know he's recruiting his ass off. It seems like they're going to land that kid, Dante Moore from Detroit, where your boy Jim Harbaugh is going to whiff on two big time quarterbacks in his own home state. I think it's a great matchup. this potential upset I'll say spot. This. If this is on at the same time as, well, I have God's eye, but it's Fresno State, San Diego State game, then I might lean, but I think there's a good chance this could be the afternoon game. We'll see.
Buddy, you won't have God's eye this weekend.
Oh, that's right. Son of a. Why does that have to all happen this weekend?
This is a heater weekend. Yeah.
All right. Well, next up, Patty C.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, I'm going to stay in the Pac-12. We're going Stanford. I know they went 3-9 last year, but at UCLA.
They did play 12 power fives.
Yeah. It impacts the record when you play the hardest schedule in the country. Stanford going to UCLA. Do you think the Rose Bowl will be filled out for this one? Probably not.
I don't think so.
I'm expecting a wine
it's Halloween,
and cheese.
All right.
Snooze fest here.
Hold on. I'll cue you up again.
Yeah.
I'll cue you up. This.
Hippie Olympics. Doesn't matter who wins because they're all losers.
We're using this for every fucking drop.
Pretty much. Every Pac-12 game fits that perfectly. I don't know. I mean, I just think UCLA, if Dorian Thompson Robinson's having a great year, UCLA could have a great year. And Stanford is just good enough to throw.
Tanner McKee, up. Projected potentially first round draft pick. You saw what Davis Mills is doing there in Houston. So,
I mean, for all the prospects that Stanford's had, you know, play quarterback in the NFL, Tanner McKee is closest to Andrew Luck in terms of actual talent and recruiting.
So. I thought you were going to say he's closest to Jim Plunkett.
Hello.
Nick, what do you make of Stanford at UCLA?
I'm not coming at Patty here because I think it belongs to be played here, but this is a boring ass game. I won't find it on my TV really. I mean, I'll be kind of, you know, it's one of those games you follow on your phone or something.
Here's what's great. Here's what's great. Anytime we play Northwestern or Stanford, Nick hates it. But if it's Duke, he loves
boring
it.
Ass, but, well, I mean, come on.
Well, that's exactly it. Is Nick's been watching Duke his whole life, so he finds those games mildly interesting. Meanwhile, I've spent enough time out here that Stanford's become a curiosity to me, so I kind of enjoy watching their games.
They do, Stanford.
I'll be honest with you. If I wasn't a Duke fan, I would not be interested in Duke games. All right. You know, my basketball love bled over a little bit to football.
Fair enough.
What are you going to do?
You still love the entire ACC.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, come on. Stanford's had some pretty money
in ACC country my whole life. All right.
Well, I've been in California for 15 of the last 18 years. So
you guys turned your back on ACC country.
Yeah. Thankfully, that was the best decision I made in my life, man. The only bad thing is Maryland went to the Big Ten. I used to get stuck growing up. Me and Nick, there'd be like Oklahoma, Texas on ABC, and they'd give us Maryland, Clemson. You're just like, gosh, why?
I love the ACC so much. I moved closer. You know, I was like, Virginia's not close enough to Greensboro where the headquarters is. I need to get closer.
Oh man. All right. So NC Nick, that puts you on the clock, buddy. Are you going to be making us play that sound drop again is the question.
All right. Well, yeah, screw you guys. I was going to go in a different direction, but let me take you to Wake Louisville.
This Wakey Leagues. This should be the rivalry.
Yes. Yes, it should. There is the whole Wakey Leagues things. And dude, the last 5 years, there's been some crazy ass games, like a 62-59 game.
Yeah,
I was telling. 42-32 game, a 37-34. I mean, there's been some wild, high scoring games. You know, we love playing DFS, and if you're in a high stakes DFS game, and you're going to have players in this matchup, so you're going to be watching. It's going to be fun.
I mean, I was telling Patty C this yesterday. Because we were talking about potential rivalry. I was like, the Wakey Leaks thing, and you got the foot. I remember some of these games being just fucking bananas because I think maybe one of them was on a Thursday night or something. I don't know, but 62-59, I think that was the onside kick game. Then you have the 37-34. You have a 20-19. These have been fun. So I like it. Patty C?
Yeah, I mean, you're right. They've been competitive. This was one that I don't know that I talked about in terms of a good rivalry that Louisville could have had that has a little recent history.
Well, so, Ann Clawson's on record for hating them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, when you guys talk about high scoring games involving Wake Forest, that's not really a special thing because that's all they do now. I guess Louisville's had some explosive offenses too, so that makes sense. But that doesn't mean that these games haven't been fun. And the fact that there's some hate, it's almost like these two teams don't even register on my radar most of the time, but the fact that they hate each other makes this game like must see TV.
Shame on
bit.
The ACC for not giving
you
this
turned your back
every year.
You turned your back, Patty C. Well, Benedict Arnold.
Sometimes it may be good, sometimes it may be shit.
All right. It goes back to me. Oh man, we're getting down here. Guys, I'm taking you to, man, I just feel like I'm just playing all these west of the Mississippi games. Is there anything I can find that? No, I'm sorry. I'm taking you to Lubbock. Where? No, you know what? I'm taking you in the Sun Belt. Sun Belt.
There we go.
Coastal
there
Carolina. Go. Teal Nation heading into Marshall. This is Halloween. Oh man, in West Virginia, this place is gonna be bonkers. Buckle up. This is an upset special. I know. Look, they don't realize what they're getting here. I know they think, hey, Myrtle Beach, fun. You know, we party hard. You're going in there. There might be four teeth in the fucking stadium. You know what I mean? Like, this is going to be fantastic. Coastal Carolina at Marshall. Give me some snow. Cold. Huntington, West Virginia is fucking cold. Okay. There we go. What do you think, Nick?
No, I love it. This is actually the game I was going to play until you guys were slandering the ACC. Now, I mean, you know, the beach going to the mountains used to be going to Boone. Well, now you're going to go like deeper into Appalachia. Okay, you're going to go into West Virginia, and the first time ever Marshall in the Sun Belt. This is a great game. I can't wait to watch this. I think it's going to, yeah, and definitely Coastal Carolina upset alert.
Put this on Wednesday.
Yeah, I know it would. Oh, dude, by itself on Wednesday would be beautiful. But I'm looking forward to this matchup. I think it's going to be fun. Just, you know, Coastal Carolina, Marshall, the first time Marshall's in the Sun Belt, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
The beach mullet against the mountain mullet. What are you doing
Huff
here?
Huff doesn't have a mullet, but the fans in the stands certainly will.
I'm sure he's working on it. Vampire in Brooklyn, baby. All right.
That's great.
what do you make of this game?
I just wonder if you think it's actually going to be an upset. Do we think there's actually potential that Marshall can pull this?
For sure.
Yes, I do.
I mean, for sure. As good as I would anticipate Coastal Carolina with Grayson McCall coming back and running that show again.
They don't have that much returning besides him, though.
Right. I feel like that's an offense that doesn't need like continuity. I feel like Chadwell is really orchestrating that. And as long as he has his trigger man, then that offense is going to operate at a high level. And he does. So I don't know. We'll see. But Marshall
on Halloween, though, this place is going to be bonkers.
It will. Although I say I have a better game in the same state that I'm going to pick next.
All right. Well, Patty C is next on the clock. So
buddy, we are going to Morgantown, West Virginia, where the TCU Horned Frogs are going to be visiting the Mountaineers of West Virginia. And having partied in West Virginia a few times in Morgantown, it's a shit show
on
as
Halloween.
Is on Halloween. You know, people don't even have to wear costumes and they're going to scare the shit out of you. Okay.
So officially Halloween's on Monday and this is Saturday, but still it's holiday weekend, which, you know, it's college. I mean, the whole weekend is Halloween, right? And the biggest parties are going
to
be on Saturday, right?
For sure. For sure. Absolutely. I mean, this is going to be bananas.
What do you think TCU's...
They're not winning this game. I think this game could be a blowout.
Probably not. I know that Baylor has yet to win in Morgantown since joining the Big 12. I want to take a look at this rivalry in a second, but I would assume it's going to be a fun one. And what do you think? TCU still has a long way to go. This is a big game potentially for homeboy.
Sonny Dykes, Max Duggan. I mean...
I meant for Neil Brown.
Oh, for Neil Brown. By the way, the TCU is 4-7 all time against West Virginia, 4-7, and they have won two games in Morgantown, but both of those were in 2012 and 2014. One of them coming in double overtime, the other one coming by 1 point.
So when we say it's tough to play in Morgantown, maybe the likes of Oklahoma can squeak one out, you know, here and there, or even control the series. But these other teams going like Kansas State,
Halloween, dude.
Yeah, this is a TCU, Baylor. These teams have to go to Morgantown, and they find out, hey, this is a tough place to play.
I love it. I love it.
Well, let's face it. I mean, it's not like TCU is supposed to be that great this year anyway.
That's true.
So yeah, I think you favored the Mountaineers. It's a decent game. Well, again, I'm not coming at Patty C because you can play anything right now. But maybe I'm just being, you know, Sun Belt hipster. I want to watch Coastal Carolina Marshall over this.
Well, you hate the Big 12 too. You've been noted as hating the Big 12. I saw they got a new commissioner. I saw they got a new commissioner. I'm sure NC Nick, you know, has already wrote him an email talking about how much he hates their product.
Awful hire.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, it's TCU WVU. Last 3 or 4 years, you've had like 2-5-7, 6-6 programs.
Still, I just feel like West Virginia on Halloween is worth watching.
Can I tell you that Coastal Carolina is what, 22-3 over the last 2 years?
I tell you what, the problem is neither Coastal Carolina or TCU, who had some elite years, is ever going to sniff the playoff because it's not big enough and they get discriminated against.
I mean, TCU, yeah, well, but we'll see. It's going to
really
expand.
Watching who's going to play in a New Year's Six bowl game and have their team not show up for the game. So,
but these games mean so much. They do to me watching them. All right. Betting on them. All right. All right. So Patty C, it goes to, it goes to now NC Nick. He can't play another West Virginia game because there are none. But anyway, you were on.
But I can play another Sun Belt game.
Fun Belt, Sun Belt.
But I can play another Sun Belt game, damn it. Louisiana Southern Miss, the other Thursday night game that, look, I mean, we all got two screens, we all got laptops and phones. So you're damn straight, I'll be watching Louisiana Southern Miss at the same time as Virginia Tech, NC State. And does it have upset or blowout potential? Possibly. I mean, Southern Miss, another new team to the Sun Belt, they haven't been great the last couple of years. Louisiana, the Raging Cajuns, won the Sun Belt last year, but they have a new head coach replacing a bunch of people like quarterback Levi Lewis. So, you know, Southern Miss is still a tough place to play. They still have a good, you know, home field environment there. So this could be an under the radar slept on Thursday night game. And there's only two games in this time slot Thursday night, so I'll be watching.
I like it. I mean, I'm very excited to see what Southern Miss can do. And I know Southern Miss, you know, they've struggled, but they've only had seven losing seasons, buddy. They've only had eight losing seasons since 1980. So they've been a good program. They've struggled the past two years.
42 years.
Yeah, 42 years. So keep an eye.
There's
out
a reason
Miss.
Why the Sun Belt plucked them. You know, because they do have a lot. It's a live home field environment, and they have a long history. They've just been in a little bit of a rut.
And some Southern Miss friends of mine, they'll say they were the original Boise State.
Hey, shout out to Joe Hackney here, who's hitting us up with some comments here. He said Thursday night Sun Belt greater than NFL Thursday night. Hell yeah, man. Totally.
Oh, way better. Absolutely way better. What up to Joe Hackney?
Said I'm shitting on TCU. Shocker.
Shout out to Joe. I think he's a TCU fan, man. And he's telling me that, well, you know, Max Duggan and this offense. And I think, the TCU defense is going to be pretty good this year. So
I kind of like TCU. I mean, we were fans when they were, you know, doing big things, and I kind of like Duggan too. I mean, it'll be interesting to watch him in this new offense. But I root for TCU out of probably any Big 12 team. Wow. They've just been so average the last, you know, two, 4 years.
There it is.
I got nothing against the Jayhawks, but they're in basketball. I can't root for Kansas. Bleeds over a little bit.
What about when Cincinnati, UCF, and Houston join and BYU?
Yeah, I mean, that's gonna be crazy. I don't know. I might have to rethink my inks here next year. But for now, I think it's safe to say for now, TCU is my favorite Big 12 school.
TCU Nick. He's got the TCU purple shirt on. That's the better
favorite?
Purple.
What's your favorite, dude?
K-State always. K-State.
K-State's
party.
Too.
You party with the fans in Austin of those K-State fans.
Fine folks, definitely.
Yes,
I'm a big Texas. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah,
I would say actually, TCU might be my favorite too.
Yeah, there you go. Look at this. Play into your crowd. All right. Well, wait. So it is now going then to myself after a couple Sun Belt games played. Let's hop on into this. Oh man, it does kind of fall off a little bit. I'm going to Lubbock. Speaking of Big 12, because I think this is an interesting matchup that's probably a little slept on by you guys. If I had to guess, mainly because Joey McGuire, the new head coach of Texas Tech, was at Baylor through Matt Rhule and Dave Aranda. And they tried to, I think they were trying to keep him there. So you get Joey McGuire in Lubbock Halloween weekend. This place will be fucking rocking too. Baylor at Texas Tech. I smell an upset brewing.
Game has been played 78 times. A long standing rivalry, West Texas versus what, Central East Texas. Yeah, I like it. Should be competitive. Joey, was it Joey McGuire?
Yeah, Joey McGuire. You don't need the Bash Brothers and Mark McGuire, right? You got Joey McGuire, right?
It's not Jerry McGuire.
The 3-3 in the last six competitive games here. Who do you got?
Joey McGuire went to Baylor and was like, show me the money. I'm telling you, Texas Tech's going to pull off the upset. All right.
Let me see if there's a trend for, well, a lot of these games were at neutral sites. Where was that?
Yeah, I don't like that shit.
AT&T Stadium.
Death to neutral sites, death to bowl games. We want them on campus. We want these places. We want goalposts torn down. All right.
Talk about a game that has like a neutral site tradition, apparently, that I was completely unaware of. You know, talk about this game being off my radar, but I'm glad it looks like now they're at least playing them on campus.
Yeah. Nick, you like this one or no? Big 12 hater over there? Let's get him out.
Look, I'm not going to lie. Like, this is a game I you know, glance over. You know, it could be fun. I do like the angle with McGuire there. You make a lot of good points. And like, what we're at pick 22 or something here. So it's a decent game. Let's move on.
Texas Tech is capable of pulling the upset against a team like Baylor.
Of course. Yeah. Of course.
Patty C, pick 23.
Wait, I think you're next.
No, I just took Baylor and Texas Tech.
Oh, you
Tech.
Did that. Okay. Gosh, I thought that was Nick for some reason.
No, Nick doesn't play Big 12 games.
That's true.
All right?
No, never.
Well, I'm staying in ACC country. I'm ACC Pat this week. Okay. And I'm going to talk about a game that I said should have been a rivalry or at least a protected annual game. That is Georgia Tech traveling to Tallahassee to play Florida State. Look, two shitty teams, but two big brands with good history. You know, I'll watch it because I like big brands. I'm TMZ Pat. Yeah.
You're going to try to polish this turd.
I'm going to try to polish.
Florida State actually only leads this series 14-11. And
that's surprising.
And believe it or not, Georgia Tech has won, I think, a decent amount of these recently. Yes. They've won two in a row. They've won three of the last five, four of the last six.
Wow. Georgia Tech. See, that's what I'm talking about. This is more of a rivalry than most people realize.
I mean,
than even I realize.
Yeah. This is after this year. I see why Florida State wanted to duck them.
Yeah.
They probably were like, please, ACC commissioner, don't give us the Yellow Jackets.
You would think, though, having a game in Atlanta every year would help them with recruiting the state of Georgia a little bit, maybe.
True. True. Nick, what do you make of your ACC, Nick? What do you make of Georgia Tech, Florida State?
I don't want any parts of this game. No, I'm going to pass over. You know, it's got to be bad if I'm not interested. If you go back a few years ago, Colby, remember we were in Austin, Texas, at the same time that we were at that Texas Kansas State game, and that was a big Georgia Tech upset over Florida State.
That was the block. That was the block kick. Return for a touchdown. Yeah,
right. That was a great game, but that had to be like 8, 9, 10 years ago. You know, right now it just the game doesn't matter.
Well, you know,
both teams are struggling to make a bowl.
I'm curious what game you're going to pick that.
I enjoy it for misery's sake. Cause if Georgia Tech keeps winning these wins and the Florida State fans, it's pretty entertaining.
Well, I just feel like Tallahassee and Atlanta aren't that far from each other. There's kind of a similar culture there. Southern, almost like an SEC vibe that should be part of this game. Let's develop this rivalry some.
Well, ACC said no to that. They flushed the toilet on your thoughts, but I don't have a problem with it played right here. All right. I don't have a problem with it played right here. NC Nick.
I do think I have a better game. And because I think these two schools, I mean, Colorado State, I think is one of the most intriguing teams to watch this year. That's not in the Power Five. I want to see what Norvell does with the Rams. Colorado State has always been a fun program to follow, to watch, to root for. And they're playing at Boise, another program that we just, you know, respect the hell out of. So, yeah, I want to see this game here. I think Colorado State's going to be better than expected. Obviously, it's a very tough road trip. Boise's always good. Fun Mountain West shootout here.
Is there any way to get Boise State in the Sun Belt? because I feel like they fit in.
Well, you know what's funny is that the Sun Belt is really the East Coast equivalent of the Mountain West now.
That's true. That is true.
They've come up to, if they're not at that quite that level quite yet, you can probably still argue the Mountain West.
Yeah.
The Mountain West might be still a little bit better, but Sun Belt's only come up. Yeah. And I think they're probably, you know, watching the Mountain West and say, hey, we want to get to that level. And the Sun Belt's already surpassed Conference USA, and they're probably going to surpass the American once they lose some of those teams. But anyway, going back to this game, I think it's a good game.
Yeah. I mean, look, Colorado State, Patty C, we did the preview. Go listen to our Colorado State preview. Patty C, not buying anything. It's going to take some time with the air raid. But you got to remember, Boise State's also air raid now. So Smurf Turf air raid battle. Sign me up. This should be a weekday game, though.
The ball flies a little far in that low or that high altitude. So, you know, they're going to be throwing it all over the field,
all over the field,
over the mountains. Uncle Rico style.
All right. Now it goes to myself. But before I go with my next pick, I got to get us paid for the final time. The College Football Experience is brought to you by IP Vanish. Did you know that browsing online using incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? That's right. Without added security, you might as well be giving away all your private data to hackers, advertisers, your ISP, and other prying eyes. That's why here at SGPN Studios, we use IP Vanish VPN to make it easy to stay truly private and secure on the internet. IP Vanish helps you safely browse the internet by encrypting 100% of your data. That means your private details, your emails, your passwords, your communication, your browsing history, and more will be completely shielded from falling into the wrong hands. Even your physical location will be hidden. IP Vanish makes you virtually invisible online. It's really that simple. You can use IP Vanish on unlimited devices as well, all right, without sacrificing speed. All right, your computers, your tablets, your phones, even devices like your Fire Stick. When you're streaming media, whether I'm at home or in public, I don't go online anymore without using IP Vanish. And right now, IP Vanish is offering an incredible 70% off their yearly plan for our listeners with a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's like getting 9 months for free, people. All right, so go to ipvanish.com/SGP and use the promo code SGP to claim 70% off your savings. That's ipvanish.com/SGP. All right, and it is my pick here before we, you know, just pick 25 here, all right? We are going to... No, I'm not doing it. Okay, we're going to Iowa City. Hey, you laugh maybe at this matchup, but these teams have had some great look. They've both, these are the last two Big Ten West champions. People think Wisconsin, and it's not. It's Northwestern at Iowa. And see, Nick, I know you want to fall asleep, but this is a great matchup. Give me a 13-10 final. Iowa gets it done in Iowa City. And it's a beautiful football game. Patty, see your thoughts.
I think we've been conditioned to laugh whenever we hear Northwestern as an interesting game to watch for good reason. They sucked ass for three decades, but they have
Gary Barnett had him going in the 90s.
Yeah, I guess two decades, maybe the better part of three decades. Either way, they are competitive now, and Iowa, nice home field advantage is Northwestern, and their defensive approach, the type of team that can keep the game close enough to win in Iowa City. That's my question.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is a fun game because two defensive coaches going at it. Iowa does lead this series 52-28 all time, but guess what? Northwestern's won four of the last six.
Oh,
they have the remedy to stopping that. And even last year, Iowa won, but it was 17-12. Buckle up, all right? Buckle up for this one. Love these matches. Check out these scores, ready? 17-12, 21-20, 20-0, 14-10, 17-10. Those are the last five matchups. This is beautiful. No, football's back, baby.
No one scored more than three touchdowns.
Football is back. I love it.
Half a decade.
Yes. Yes.
This game is the opposite of Wake Louisville.
Yes. And I would rather watch this one.
But I mean, the game certainly belongs to be played here. And Joe is cracking me up here on the chat. He's saying Iowa's going to smash Northwestern. He also had some colorful comments about that Georgia Tech Florida State game. this game, I mean, it does scream boring. It's going to be a high noon kick, I would imagine, Eastern time. But no, you have to play it here because of the success of the two programs, and it should be close. So yeah,
Colby, pick. We have argued online that Big Ten or that USFL football and its low scores is interesting. What can we do to convince Nick that this game will be interesting and that low scoring football in general?
I mean, he's a hater, man. He hates, he hates the Big 12 and the Big 10 West because the Big 10 West, I feel like, is basically practically Big 12, except they don't have high powered offenses for the most part.
Well, he's kind of got a point. The old 3 yards in a cloud of dust and then punt and then.
No, that's beautiful. Beautiful football, especially from two defensive head coaches. Who doesn't like Pat Fitzgerald or Kirk Ferentz?
Oh, you got to like them both. It doesn't make their games necessarily or the style of play very interesting.
I love them.
I like the style of play because you appreciate the struggle for yardage and points.
A turnover in one of these games is like the game's over.
Right.
Someone throws it in your own red zone or inside your own 20. If you throw an interception or fumble, it's like, dude, you just lost the game. It could be in the first quarter. It could be in the first quarter and like the running back fumbles and Iowa recovers inside the 10. And it's like, this game, it's a wrap.
Well, Joe says that Spencer Petras is going to throw for a career high 112 yards against Northwestern this week.
I'm going to say this. You just have to recalibrate your thinking, Nick, to get as excited about a first down as you do a touchdown when you're walking Wake Forest versus Louisville. If you could do that.
But here's the thing also. So say like Friday night, I'm up a little bit late, doing whatever. And then, I'm waking up early with the kids. I turn on that noon game right about the time I have a big lunch. I mean, it's tough to, I haven't started drinking yet. So it's tough to, you gotta get my attention or else I'm going to fall asleep on the couch.
So it's your alcoholism. It's that's the problem.
Probably.
And shout out to Joe said, I'd rather watch the SWAC than Georgia Tech, Florida State. I would too, because the top player in the nation chose the SWAC over Florida State. Yeah,
well, fair enough. At this point, that is absolutely true.
Shout out to Travis Hunter and Jackson State doing some things. All right. So that hops on over. Patty C.
I mean, what? Look, this game was a heater last year. Colby lies and he says that, it seemed to me Nebraska was clearly in control of this game. I call horseshit on that.
They weren't in control. They were just a flat out better team.
Well, the stats don't tell that story. And
Colby picked Nebraska. Colby picked Nebraska. Had to kind of explain why he was wrong.
Yeah.
I will fight this one.
Talk about not willing to own up to
Patty didn't show up to the third quarter, by the way. All right. I was watching this game every snap, right?
I was as well.
And Nebraska was shooting themselves in the foot more than was Illinois playing good football. So you can set, stick that where the sun don't shine, buddy, because
I was in the second quarter when I showed up for this one,
but isn't that Frost under Nebraska? Isn't that what they just
true?
They do?
But it's not like Illinois was beating them. Like it was like,
no, okay. Yeah. I agree. But still, I mean, I got the game, right? You got it wrong. I'm the best. You're the worst.
All of that to say, look, we got a close. I mean, we got a Big Ten West showdown here. Bowl potential affecting. I mean, coaches could be fired after this game if Brett Bielema beats Scott Frost again. That could be bye bye.
True.
And Brett Bielema is trying to go bowling this year. This could help them.
Right.
I just like these two brands. I don't really like Illinois' brand. Actually, I do like Illinois' brand. I feel like they have awesome uniforms. They should be cooler. They just suck and have sucked. But that's about to change when they beat Nebraska. I'm calling it now.
That's reckless. That's a reckless take there. Nick, what do you think of this matchup?
Yeah, I mean,
it's Big Ten West. That's what the closet. He's a closet Big Ten West hater.
That's true. But I mean, the only reason I watched it was because it was week zero last year and there was no other games on. Nebraska's interesting this year because look, they sucked last year. They've sucked under Frost, but they were so close. They had so many one score losses last year. And usually you can watch a team that one year that goes through, not being able to win close games and they have more experience the next year and they start winning some of those games. And sure enough, instead of being, a 4-8 team, they're an 8-4 team. I'm not saying that's going to happen. I'm just saying they'll be interesting to watch to see if it happens. And if that's the case, and this game's obviously huge because they need to take care of business at home against the Fighting Illini.
I'm trying to pull up this tweet that I read the other day about Nebraska. That was just, oh yeah. How about this? This is the craziest. Aaron Torres is tweeting this craziest stat he's ever seen. Nebraska outrushed, outpassed, outscored its opposition on the season, but yet went 3-9. That's almost incredible.
Yeah,
it's pretty crazy.
It's almost like you have to try to do that.
Anyway, yeah.
So that tells you though they're not far off from having a pretty good team.
Yeah.
Can they get their special teams planned, and can they get, you know, the limit their turnovers more? I mean,
look, if that's all
coaching. Coaching, right?
Yeah, yeah. You would think. I mean, Frost has got to get that figured out. If they both improve, though, this game could have a little more meaning than we're seeing right now.
There we go. All right, NC Nick, second to last pick in the draft.
The one team in the Big Ten West I kind of like, I don't know why, but it's the Golden Gophers. And especially when you have a Big Ten East school playing at Minnesota, Rutgers, Minnesota. Why not?
Oh, the Golden Guido. All these Big Ten East games, three in a row.
Well, Big Ten West. Well, this is a divisional game.
Rutgers plays like they're in the Big Ten West.
They do kind of, but I kind of root for them for some reason. I'm not sure why. Okay, this is an interesting game here. Kind
of. Rutgers at Minnesota.
What do you guys think?
There's an East Coast bias if I've ever heard it. If you're completely bored by Iowa, Northwestern, Wisconsin football,
yeah,
and you're excited to see Arthur Satowski or Noah Vedral. That's who it is.
Yeah. It used to be Satowski.
Yeah.
I have a soft spot in my heart for Rutgers from the old Big East days when they played Thursday night games all the time.
There.
And it was a really fun games against West Virginia and South Florida back when South Florida was good, you know, and they just had a bunch of fun games back then. I kind of started following the program because they played a bunch of Thursday night games when Thursday night games were kind of taboo back then.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Minnesota leads this series 2-0 all the time. The last matchup was 42-7 in 2019, but the first matchup, Minnesota won 34-32. So maybe we get a good one.
The Golden Guido.
I mean, what else is here? Like, are you going to go Mizzou, South Carolina? You going to go Notre Dame, Syracuse?
not that filthy one on the carpet. All right. All right. Well, it goes back to me, and let's have some fun. Taking you to Boulder, Arizona State hits the
play
road.
Play that hippie clip.
Yeah. That's true. Where are we at here?
Hippie Olympics. Doesn't matter who wins because they're all losers.
Herm Edwards coaching for his job. Carl Durrell coaching for his job. Someone's got these, in my opinion, more than any teams in the nation. These are the two teams that were hit worst by the transfer portal, which means someone's got to win this game. It's the transfer bowl. Give me Arizona State at Colorado in Boulder. What do you think of this game, Patty C?
I'm going to say one of these teams is a hipster squad, total losers. That's Colorado. Arizona State, that's Pam and Tommy country right there. Look, those are two different cultures colliding up in the mountains. It's going to be a tough trip for Arizona State. I think Colorado could really steal one here, make this competitive.
Yeah, yeah. Look,
I can see Patty being a big Arizona State fan.
They're the most TMZ team in the country.
You go there, every girl's got big tits and
silicone tits.
Yeah, it's just complete stuff.
Sounds like you're complaining, Colby. Yeah.
I'm married, but I was talking about from Patty C's point of view. Right.
Little does he know, wifey's listening to every single podcast. Or yes, maybe he does know that.
Yes, yes.
He's the most well-behaved man on this podcast.
Dude, I watched that. What was that documentary in Columbia, Nick?
Columbia, what? Maryland, Missouri?
My wife was from Columbia. Narcos. All right.
Yeah. Okay.
Colby's gonna get a Columbia.
Not trying to be half asleep and get waterboarded.
A little necktie. You know what I mean? Yeah.
All right. Look, we go now to, since you guys don't really want to talk about that elite matchup, let's hop over to Patty C. Last pick of the draft, second to last pick overall.
Jeez, you don't really leave me a lot here. I'm gonna say JMU's bye week is where we're going. No, I'm just kidding. No, you know what? Give me some Northeastern football. Give me Boston College at UConn. Give me a resurgent UConn Huskies under one. What the fuck's his name?
Jim Mora Jr.
Jim Mora Jr. Yeah. He's been dominating the transfer portal. They're going to be more talented than you think so. And Boston College.
He's going Boston College,
what
UConn.
What else is there?
See, for some reason, Patty C has a strange love for Northeastern football.
I just feel like SEC is overrepresented. I'm a man of the people. I'm a man of balance, right? I want to see a little love given to these other.
I actually think I forget. I was pulling up this stat. UConn actually was actually beating some of these SEC teams in the with Edsel's first stop there. I think they beat South Carolina in a bowl game, and I think they beat somebody else. So hey, maybe UConn's on the come up. You know, Jim Mora Jr. Nick, what do you make of this game?
Border battle, baby.
Oh, this game's awful. Who's going to be watching this? I mean, look, I'm an East Coast guy, and you guys say I have East Coast bias. It's not the Northeast, all right? I'm talking about, I'm like, if you're north of Pennsylvania, I don't care.
Mid-Atlantic bias. He's more of a homer than that.
Yes. Southeastern.
Wait, you just said you love Rutgers. That's Jersey. That's Northeast football.
Kind of. good point. But UConn, Boston College, UConn, was that the game we're talking about?
Yes.
Boston College. Come on, man. That's pretty boring.
It's Halloween. It's gonna be cold up there in where?
New Haven. I got a better game. I got a better game for you.
Hold on, you know, BC leads this series 12-0.
Well, this is the first time UConn's gonna win it, and it's gonna be a landmark.
No, they're not. They are not gonna win this.
Program shifting moment in the recruiting scene of the Northeast here.
I like it. Last time they played.
They're going to start getting all those recruits from Connecticut.
That's right. Rhode Island. Hotbed that it is.
BC won 39-16. Last time they played. I'm sorry. From this website's telling me they've only played six times. The other one told me 12. I don't know what's going on here. Either way, Boston College has never lost to them.
I think Winsipedia may be the way to go. I think Sports Reference only gives us when they've both been in Division 1.
Winsipedia tells me 12-0 all time.
Yeah, I do Winsipedia.
They do have two ties. So 12-0-2. What a football should never be a tie.
How many co-eds are at that game in UConn on a Saturday on Halloween weekend? Joe Hackney wants to know.
Jim Mora Sr. is going to paint his face. All right, NC Nick. What are you doing here? Last pick of the draft.
Yeah, let me take you back to the Sun Belt, man. We're talking about the 757 ODU, the another new member of the conference at Georgia State in Hotlanta. Georgia State's going to be good this year. Watch out. But ODU is going to be very good too. They have a hell of a schedule. I tweeted out ODU's out of conference schedule. Can we pull it up real quick? Let's just talk about this because they're saying that, damn it, the Monarchs are on the map. They play Virginia Tech, East Carolina, UVA, and Liberty. Old Dominion says, what's up? We're in Virginia. We're in the 757.
Won this the national is our championship. Ground. Won the national championship with UConn in 2020.
That's right. They bring back a ton. They bring back like 1,000-yard rusher, 1,000-yard receiver, their quarterback. Watch out for ODU, man.
ODU at Georgia State, Petty.
Rattle that off. ODU plays who? They play Virginia Tech,
ECU, UVA, and Liberty.
And JMU, right?
And they get JMU in conference.
And JMU in conference, yes.
They are battling for that little section of that 200-mile radius of the map.
I love it.
Are we all Virginia guys or what? Yeah, seriously. They can like they can take a bus to half their games.
Yeah.
Well, after sitting out the COVID year, they probably don't have much fun. So maybe that's what they had to do.
That's right. Hey, times are tight.
It's like Major League when they get in the airplane. You know what I mean?
The 757 is pretty hood too. I can imagine they got some beat up shit going on there.
All right. Well, this is where we get to the Lou Holtz what the fuck game of the week going on here. And I'm very curious to see what we can come up with here.
Well, I don't get right man cold,
but they're counting down 7-6-5.
I mean, this is actually a challenge a little bit. I feel like this is a challenge. I mean, you go through for, so I have the first pick here. for the Lou Holtz what the fuck game of the week. And this is the least game, the last game you want to watch. I'm going to take you to Amherst, Massachusetts, where New Mexico State is playing at UMass. I mean, they're both independents. That's this is so just so bad. Jerry Kill against Don Brown's kind of intriguing.
Come on, actually. This is Northeastern football, Patty. See?
Oh man, I could have done Robert Morris, but I left that for NC Nick. Football. New Mexico State at UMass. Flush the toilet on this one. What a shitty game. I am glad both have remained FBS and they've kept their football programs. I like both hires with Don Brown and Jerry Kill, but this is a terrible football game to watch this year.
You said they're both independents?
Yeah.
Well, you would because you're an anti-American son of a gun. Hate independent football. You know, Colby says everyone's got to be joining a conference, right? He doesn't realize that independence is the factor that keeps college football great. And here's why. Because when a team wants to make a move, right? If they're pigeonholed into a conference and they don't have any invites, they can blaze their own path to glory, just like Notre Dame did and has maintained their excellence.
BYU went undefeated and they still didn't put them in the Invitational.
Well,
they only give that pass to Notre Dame.
They also didn't play a Power Five team that entire season.
Because of COVID.
Okay, a little caveat there, but yes, I agree. They should have been given an opportunity. All that to say, independent football is a great thing, and New Mexico State versus UMass is going to be a great, no, and it's going to be probably the worst game of the year here. I think it's appropriately played.
Well, you're next, buddy, on the clock for the Lou Holtz.
Well, I don't get day rain, man, and cold,
but they're counting down 7-6-5.
I mean, yeah, there's some trash out there. We're going to go with, I mean, two directional schools that have nothing in common and both are yawn fests. I'm sorry to the fan bases out there. North Texas at Western Kentucky.
Oh man.
Whoa. Really?
Two bowl teams. Two bowl teams.
Seriously. Damn.
North Texas went bowling last year? Really?
Two fun passing attacks. I mean,
I thought North Texas
took 5-7. I know they beat UTSA.
I thought they took a step back. Let me see.
Yeah, I think Patty might be right. I don't know if they made a bowl last year. They were close, though. They were.
North Texas has taken a step.
No, they didn't make a bowl game. Yeah, they lost in the Frisco Bowl, the greatest city in America, to Miami, Ohio.
That's true. There are some great games in Frisco. For some reason,
this is a Conference USA classic.
It is.
I'm sorry if I'm not excited.
Awful pick, Patty.
I'm sorry if I'm not excited for North Texas at Western.
I gotta be honest. I think Charlotte at Rice is worse than North Texas at Western Kentucky.
Yes.
Pick one from the pile. There's some shit.
I would have picked Boston College, UConn, but you drafted it. You drafted it in one of the best games. NC Nick, your Lou Holtz, what the fuck game of the week?
Well, I don't get day rain, day and cold,
but they're counting down 7-6-5.
I'll take it to the game you mentioned because it is FCS versus FBS. It's Robert Morris at App State. Now, you can't blame App State, though, because they had the out-of-conference game against Marshall turn into a conference game because Marshall joined the Sun Belt, so they had to fill that up. They had to go FCS to get somebody on the schedule. But obviously, it's an awful game, and nobody cares about Robert Morris football.
Except for the good people of Moon Township, Pennsylvania.
Yeah,
it's right outside Pittsburgh.
Terrible game. No interest in watching it besides watching App State's program continue to shine. All right, folks, subscribe to the College Football Experience as we break down all 131 college football teams with a solo podcast for each and every team in the land. Subscribe on YouTube to our YouTube channel. But also, we are going week by week. So next week, we'll be back with week 10 of the college football season. Subscribe, tell a friend. If you're real swift, you'll give us a 5-star review on iTunes because we need it. Come on, man. We don't get enough stars, enough accolades. All right.
Joe Hackney, you want to leave us a review, buddy?
Come on, Hackney. All right. Let's do this damn thing. All right. Give us a 5-star review. And if you do, take a screenshot with your little phone, find us on Twitter. Send us that screenshot. We will send you a College Football Experience t-shirt. The sweet ass logo, if you're watching on YouTube right there. All right.
You see those 5 stars on the bottom of the logo?
Yeah, we need that right there.
You give that 5-star review, you get those 5 stars on your shirt.
There you go. So
Colby will get you a sick t-shirt. He will.
I will. It's that simple. All right. It's really that simple. And for the last time.
Hippie Olympics. Doesn't matter who wins because they're all losers.
That's the theme of this show.
We need a tie-dye shirt.
I got to get a College Football Experience tie-dye shirt to start giving that away. All right, folks, subscribe. The College Football Experience is on Twitter at TCE on SGPN. I'm on Twitter at TheColbyD. Patty C is on Twitter at PattyC831. NC Nick's on Twitter at NC_NICK. We are the College Football Experience. Check out the Sports Gambling Podcast as they continue to go through NFL props, fantasy football drafts, all that stuff. We also host the College Basketball Experience. Got some big news today with Imani Bates, the number one recruit in the nation after 1 year at Memphis, goes to Eastern Michigan, goes to the MAC. What up to the MAC? We will have you covered on the College Basketball Experience. Subscribe. Also, we do the College Baseball Experience with Noah Beanick. And then don't forget the Freedom Cup USFL Championship. We also host the USFL Gambling Podcast. Check that out this Sunday, the Freedom Cup. We got the Philadelphia Stars and the Birmingham Stallions. Shout out to our boy Scooby Wright. He's came on the show before. Check out that episode and check out that podcast and all of our other podcasts. You know, we have a great team of people doing great work, whether it's the CFL Gambling Podcast, whether it's the Golf Gambling Podcast. You go on and on and on. MMA Gambling Podcast, Soccer Gambling Podcast. We just got you covered, all right? Check them all out. You'll dig them. And let's ride on out of here, all right? All right, folks. This is the College Football Experience Week 9 preview. You better start thinking about yours. And we out of here. Do you come from a land down under?
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.